The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Welcome along to The Punt. We have a cracking Premier League weekend to look forward to, with all culminating in a Cardiff-Swansea, nice calm Sunday afternoon Welsh derby. But to preview all of the games, including that one, we've got Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern on the line. Morning, chaps.
Good morning.
No Robbie Savage this week, not his fault. I've been limited to two phone lines, so we drew straws and you two got the short ones. Hard luck. Let's start with Newcastle versus Chelsea, shall we? It's 12:45 on Saturday. 9-2 Newcastle, 3-1 the price for the draw, and Chelsea are priced up at 6-10 as predicted. Chelsea beat Arsenal, and they fielded as predicted as well. A strongish side. It's arguable whether they can field a weakened side at the moment. Newcastle came unstuck, held Man City to a 0-0 draw, but got chinned in extra time by Negredo and Dzeko goals in the 99th and 105th minutes. That followed on from losing away at Sunderland, of course. The 2-2 draw with Liverpool. They'd beaten Cardiff and lost to Everton, so you're struggling to find a win in the last five, and a convincing one at that. And you look at Chelsea's record run now. I mean, they're absolutely flying. If they're not necessarily flying on the pitch, the results are just coming thick and fast now. That one draw against Spurs away from home is the only draw in the last nine matches. They've won the rest.
Yeah, I've got to be honest now. I mean, at the start of the season, I couldn't have picked a winner of the league. If you give me a grand to put on now, will you? Chelsea would be my best. Mm. They would, you know, they've got into gear. And the one thing we thought about them was... Are they going to be short at the top end of the team, i.e. the striking position? Now, if he was to maintain the form we've seen over the last three or four games he's played, eventually they've signed Fernando Torres.
Yes.
You know, it looks as if the proper Torres has turned up. So, you know, that only adds to what I thought was a weakness. So, yeah, I really have got to fancy Chelsea. I mean, Newcastle, I think, are arguably the most unpredictable side in the league to sort of make a judgment on. But certainly on this, I'd fancy Chelsea. What price are we to win?
6-10, Chelsea.
I mean, it's nothing really away from home at St James's Park.
No. You know, I mean, it should be harder than that, shouldn't it?
There'll be plenty of. I would have thought there'd be plenty of Geordies banging on the Newcastle one, 9-2. Did you say they were 92?
92, yeah, the 92 run.
I think there's a lot of Geordies who'd be hammering on that, or should be. But for me, just looking at the two teams, Chelsea to win.
When you look at the little bit of team news, Derek, which affects the Newcastle side, is that Colaccini's a major doubt. But I mean, as Ron says, you look at the team, you know, that front three of Gouffran, Ben Arfa and Remy, Sissoko, Kabaye and Tiote in the middle of the park. Maybe the back line isn't quite as strong, but Krul in goals, you know, proved himself to be a very good keeper. They should be doing better than they are, Newcastle, shouldn't they?
It's a big underperformance, of course they should. You look at the team, Ron said it many times, they've got players who could play in the top five or six teams. But they ain't performing, are they? You know, this is a team that just got snotted by Sunderland, who couldn't beat anybody. And, you know, you look at Chelsea's form, you're right. Their last four away games in all competitions, they've beaten Stoke, Norwich, Schalke and Arsenal. All four, I would say, better than Newcastle. Maybe not Norwich. The other three, certainly. So, you know, why shouldn't Chelsea win this? Why shouldn't they be 6-10? It's a fair price. You look at their record at St James's. They hardly ever concede a goal there, are they? And you can get 7-4 late for Chelsea being the only team to score in this game. Well, they're going to score against that Newcastle back line. That is a given. All it remains is for Chelsea to keep a clean sheet, and they will do. 7-4, you know, it's giving money away. It's like the bookies right now, a cheque for me. Yeah, I'll have that.
It does look tasty, doesn't it? Remember, we were saying last week about that Chelsea scoring two goals in their in Premier League matches. It becoming a bit of a theme for them. Scored two again against Arsenal in the week in the Cup. And weirdly, they've averaged two goals per game in the last five Premier League trips to St James's Park as well. So, Ron, your favourite. Yeah, it's just been begged to be backed here, 2-0, 15-2.
That looks very, very decent.
The other little stat about Newcastle is that they conceded the joint most headed goals this season, five, along with Fulham, if you're looking to pick out a goal scorer. I bet that might help you along. Let's have a look at the next game. Arsenal versus Liverpool. Arsenal are 13-10. 5-2 the price for the draw, and Liverpool are 19-10. Derek questioned whether there were flat track bullies before the Borussia Dortmund game. Maybe that defeat wasn't good enough evidence. Maybe the Chelsea one in midweek wasn't quite good enough evidence because Chelsea field a strong team and Arsenal weren't quite as strong as they could have been. But this is a bit of a litmus test, I think, for Arsenal's season, isn't it, Derek?
Yeah, it is. Well, I'm for Liverpool too.
Yeah, yeah, very, very true. But there seems to be more expectation on Arsenal's shoulders than Liverpool's, though, doesn't there?
Here's an odd one for you, Lee. A little oddity. Not necessarily to do with Arsenal, but Liverpool are 7-1 to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal are 9-2, by the way. Man United are 8-1 to win the title. Right, to finish in the top four, this is with Hills. To finish in the top four, Man United 8-13, Liverpool 11-10.
Strange, isn't it?
How does that work out?
I don't know.
The only thing you can think of, Derek, is if they're going to finish in the top four, there's more chance of them winning the league than there is United. I mean, if you've played me now...
Is there? Do you think there is, Ron?
I think Liverpool are very... I don't say the surprise packet, because you can't have Liverpool as a surprise packet. But I think Liverpool are capable. They could finish eighth, or they could win it. Liverpool, no European commitments, no League Cup commitments. You know, they can focus on that. They've got two front players that are always liable to get them goals. And they've got other good players in other positions. I don't think they'll win it, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did. This is the best chance they've had, I think, for 5 years to win it.
Interesting. Yeah,
David Silver, the Man City player, was saying exactly the same thing. Liverpool, no, you know, they can just play from Saturday to Saturday in the league, concentrate until the FA Cup comes along, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you know, they've got a very good chance. I don't see them winning it either, by the way. But you know,
it's a big jump, isn't it?
You've got the Brazilian kids that come back in as well.
Well, yeah, and he could be fit this weekend. That is a big that's a big feather because he is a tremendous player, Coutinho.
Yeah.
And you know, if he does play in this game and he's fully fit, well, he'll give Arsenal some problems. I know everyone keep banging on, by the way, about Mesut Ozil, but I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, he must be a great player because Real Madrid is still whinging about losing him. All these top judges, Ron included, say what a great player he is. But I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, where? Yeah, I know he must be, but I can't see why he's being given the rave reviews he's getting.
Well, there's an interesting thing, Derek, a little stat that backs up that thought that you've got there. He's gone four Premier League games without an assist now, and you know, when we first saw him in the Premier League, everything he touched ended up in a goal for someone. Now suddenly his influence has waned just a little. I don't know what the reason for that might be. It might just be a bit of tiredness. He picked up a little bit of an injury for Germany, didn't he? So he might just be off his 100% game at the moment.
I'm going to have a little bit of faith in Arsenal this weekend because I do honestly think, in terms of, you call it a litmus test, in terms of a point of no return almost, I think they have to win it.
Mm.
And, you know, I've just got a feeling they will. But there's another interesting stat, Derek, that I've read in today's paper. Whatever amount of points Arsenal have got this season, they got more last season against the same teams.
Did they?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that is interesting.
I think they got something like...
Derek likes that stat.
Yes, I
do. I do as well. I think we all do.
After record, I think it's in Steve Howard's column. I think it is.
Yeah. No surprise. Man, it would be in my heart to bet more points than they've got this year, because they seem to have won virtually every game, don't they, apart from
the
one?
They had maximum points from the same games last year.
Did they?
Incredible.
That's interesting.
But, you know, they never beat Liverpool at the Emirates either, do they? You know, since
lots of draws, aren't there?
Yeah, loads of draws, and you can see this one finishing all square, you know, you really can. Liverpool would be delighted with that. And they don't look... You know, I don't see any team murdering Liverpool. Certainly not Arsenal. I just think Liverpool will be pleased with the draw, and it's the biggest price of the three as well, Lee. People are saying there's going to be loads of goals in this because of the individual brilliance on show. You know, certainly in Liverpool team with Sturridge and Suarez, but something about this game makes me think it's going to be a very cagey affair. I think the prices are a bit skewed. I'd be on the unders in this game, you know.
All right, okay. Ron, what are you going for?
I'm going to go for an Arsenal 2-1.
All right, okay.
I've just thought of something that doesn't over-inspire me, but Flamini will be out, won't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to be out. No, you know, he's one of those solid citizens that does a hell of a job and would make the life of Gerrard and people like that a little bit more harder.
Yeah.
But
8-1, that price.
It's more a vote of confidence in Arsenal.
Yeah, it's interesting.
His first vote of confidence.
Can
I just ask Ron about has his views of Jack Wilshere changed at all? Have you come round to my way of thinking?
No, I think he's a very, very, very good player, not playing well.
All right, we shall see.
That can happen. You know, that can happen. I mean, there's a lot of people think that Gerrard isn't a world-class player. I do.
So one player who is a world-class player is Luis Suarez. 4-1 for him to score in a Liverpool win. I'm interested that you say 2-1, Ron, because I thought maybe with, you know, Suarez and Sturridge against, you know, Mertesacker and company, I thought you might think that they might get a couple at Liverpool.
Well, yeah, but...
Koscielny, Mertesacker, because the centre-back part, Koscielny's a decent player, but you can see Mertesacker being given the runaround a little bit, couldn't you?
Well, you could see that if he plays against... don't start me on him.
A couple of little stats that might interest people.
You know what? Go, I think he makes it. They had a centre-half years ago called Gus Caesar.
Yeah, right. I remember him.
And
yeah,
I've got to be honest, I think he makes Gus Caesar. He would be in the all-time low team before Gus Caesar in my book.
A couple of little stats. Arsenal have only lost once in the last 12 with Liverpool, winning 4, drawing 7. But listen to this one. It's one of those quirky little things, and it might not play into the hands of Arsenal fans, really, and people looking for Arsenal to get going again. November is Arsenal's least productive month in Premier League history, only gaining 1.55 points per game. October is their second most productive month behind March. So, interesting one. You tend to think that they're slow starters, but not from that idea. So November could be a sticky one for them. They've got some more tough games coming up as well. Let's move on to... What are you going for, Derek?
I'm going for a draw. I think 5-2 is a big price.
Yeah, it's quite big, isn't it? And you're going 2-1 Arsenal, Ron.
Yeah.
Everton take on Tottenham in the 1:30 Sunday game. Everton are 6-4. The draw is 23-10. And Tottenham are priced up at 9-5. Everton still not doing too much wrong. Went away to Villa and got a 2-0 win, with goals from Lukaku and Osman. Now, before that, they'd beaten Hull by 2-1 after bouncing back from the defeat to Manchester City. So just that one defeat in the Premier League so far. Tottenham, for the second game in succession, had to squeeze past Hull City, this time on a penalty shootout. And it's been an interesting week, hasn't it, at Tottenham? You know, that Andre Villas-Boas doing what you should never do and kind of half taking on the fans, and the fans complaining that they're not allowed to sing 50 to 60% of their songs that they sing. That's why the atmosphere is rubbish at home. Everyone might be pleased just to be away from White Hart Lane for a week here. What about the game, though, Derek?
Tough one, isn't it? Everton seems to just be going about the business quietly, don't they? Yeah. You know, nobody's talking about them, you know, but they've got a striker who's banging in goals, and you look at the team and it doesn't seem to be a weakness. I don't think they've lost a home game in the calendar year 2013, the only team in the Premier League that's got that record. So Tottenham are going to have to be at their best to beat them, aren't they? But 9-5, Tottenham, just under 2-1 for a side that I still think will be banging the title reckoning once all these players start to gel a bit better. I'm going to go for that, you know. I just think there's a shade of value there. Everton, yeah, you know, I'm full of praise for Everton because they're getting results. But each time I see them, I'm thinking, why are they getting these results? They don't look a well-beaten side, do they? They look a side without many weaknesses, but they don't look a side that's going to mull at anybody. And Tottenham, on any given day, could. I'm going to go for Spurs here.
It's just goals that they're struggling with, Ron, isn't it, Tottenham, really?
Well,
in the Premier League, anyway.
Townsend's not going to play, is he? Townsend. Isn't he injured?
He went over that advertising hoard. Yeah, I think he's all right to play, actually.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
For all that, I've got to be honest, I fancy Everton. They've had a clear week. I know Tottenham have had more or less a clear week. All right, there's some played, but, you know, they leave the bulk out, don't they, in that team. Yeah, I fancy Everton. I fancy Everton to win. They've got good players in every position. You know, when Derek says that, all right, they may not have worldies, but if you look at, and they've got three or four of those good players that can come in. Like, I see Osman didn't start last week, did he?
No.
Came
on and scored.
Yeah, they can bring him in. The Pienaar's back playing, you know, yeah. They've got him back in there. You know, they've got good players that come in and do a very good job. So, I'm going to go for Everton. I think Everton are a very good side, and they've still got the remnants of whatever you say about the Moyes situation at the back. You know, they still know how to defend properly. So, I'm going to go for Everton.
Yeah.
They're two centre-back, Jagielka and Distan. They go forward about as often as the clocks. You never see them, do you, or in the opposition half?
No, I'll tell you where they will get caught out the longer it goes on, though. They're playing... I'm watching more matches now where centre-halves play so wide apart.
Yeah.
You know, it's that business of play wide apart and pass to each other.
Just asking for trouble, isn't it?
I think it is, but every team's doing it because it allows your fullbacks to get on the touchline and they can ping balls out there. And that's why I don't think we defend very well in this country at the moment. But there we go. That's just an aside.
Tottenham are yet to concede a goal to a non-London club in the Premier League this season, which is a nice little stat. But Everton scoring for fun at home. Only drawn a blank once at home this season. That was that 0-0 draw in the opening day. Since then, they've won 1-0 against Chelsea, 3-2 Hull. 3-2 Newcastle and 2-1 against Hull. And Derek was right about that. That home record's phenomenal. I think three draws, is it, maybe? Three draws, and the rest have been wins. Brilliant. Brilliant home form so far. God knows why this is at 4 o'clock, by the way. Cardiff versus Swansea at 4 o'clock.
Well, that defies all logic, because normally whenever, if it's a derby, not on television, they have to play at 1 o'clock before the pubs open.
Yeah. To be fair, if this was at 4 in the morning, I think they'd find a way to get in there all tanked up.
Yeah, but do the pubs still open on a Sunday in Wales?
I think they probably do. I think they probably open quite a bit, especially in that city centre where you're only a stone's throw from the grounds. The first Welsh derby in the Premier League, of course. It's a tasty one. 23-10 for the price for Cardiff, 23-10 the price for the draw, and 6-5 for Swansea. People who go to this match say it's as vociferous as anything you're going to go to. The referee, of course, is Mike Dean, who 4 years ago found himself hit by a coin from the crowd in the Championship derby between these two. So he'll be a little bit nervy, I imagine, going into this one. Derek, on the pitch, Swansea should be the favourites, you'd imagine, even though Cardiff are at home.
Yeah, possibly, but I'm losing faith in Swansea. You know, all pretty. Ron nailed it a few weeks ago. You know, teams have found them out now. But yeah, pass in front of us all day long, mate. You know, in fact, I think they've got more. Their passing record, success rate, and the number of passes is higher than anybody in the Premier League. But you know, it's not turned into goals. Fewer and fewer teams seem to lose to them. I think 6-5 to win a derby like this away from home is a terrible price. I really do. Yeah. Tempted by Cardiff, you know. I still think there's a bit more to come from them. If you ignore all this silliness going on behind the scenes there, they're still a decent enough side. And in a game like this, it could just be enough to kickstart their season. Yeah. It could be, the draw is a big player here. And it's a shame that you can't back Cardiff and the draw at, odds against or evens even, it'd be odds on. Mm. But I still fancy Cardiff. I just think Swansea are being overrated by the bookies here.
Yeah. It's going to be feisty run. There's no way it can't be, surely. I mean, off the pitch, on the pitch, wherever,
I don't think it'd be so much on the pitch, because I look at the Swansea team and I don't see too many in that team that would...
Do you know what's interesting, right? I get you. I think most people would think that. Do you know that Swansea have got have had 4 yellow cards this season already for dissent, which is the highest in the league.
There's a big difference between dissent and chinning somebody.
thank God.
As soon as somebody swore at me and took a punch.
But I wouldn't class them as being that kind of team either. I kind of thought of them as being very disciplined towards the referee and towards their opponents.
Yeah,
but,
I think they probably give it a bit of that anti... You take one or two of the Spanish boys who probably don't appreciate it as somebody goes on, that's dissent. I think if you're talking about... There'll certainly be some goings-on off the pitch, that's for sure.
Yeah, you'd imagine so.
I'm going to give Cardiff the benefit of the doubt, actually. I think this is one of those games they must win, because not only if they win, they actually go above Swansea in the
that's
league,
right,
don't they?
That's right, they do, yeah.
So, yeah, it is the sort of game Cardiff have got to win. They've had one or two, not disappointing results, but losses and so forth that maybe... They can't afford to lose this one. I think they'll win it.
Yeah.
I know the logic wants a draw, but I'm going to give Cardiff the benefit and then go for a Cardiff win.
Yeah. David Marshall in the Cardiff goal starred last week. He's made 44 saves this season, which is 10 more than any other keeper. Probably have to be at his best again. And if you think about goal scorers, what about Craig Bellamy? Obviously, he's been coming off the bench a little bit, hasn't he? But if you think he can pop up and get one, he's only 100-30, unfortunately. I thought it might be a better price, bearing in mind he's not really featuring that much. But
I think he might be a better price for either a booking or a sending off.
Yeah, that's true.
He's one that might carry the fight.
Yeah. Last player to score a winning goal in the South Wales derby. The bookings prices, as you might expect, Derek, are very, very short. Over 45 booking points. It's 10 points for a yellow if you don't know about your booking points. 25 for a red, a maximum of 35 per player. So over 45 bookings points, which effectively you need 5 yellows if there's no reds. 2-5.
Oh, well, that is crazy.
It's absolutely outrageous.
You were building up, and I thought you were going to say is evens, and I was going to go 2-5, turn it in.
I'll tell you what's interesting as well on those sort of bets, you know, worth checking out who the referees are, isn't it?
Mike Dean, Ron, and I was just saying, I think he just had to pick up a call. He got hit in the head by the coin 4 years ago in this fixture. First time he's refereed it since, obviously.
But he ain't spent it. He's a skeleton.
So he'll be on edge a little bit, won't he? You'd imagine for whatever. One other bet, Derek, that I was going to come on to was time of first card, first to 15th minute, 21-10. If you think someone's going to go in there and it's going to be lively and there's going to be a bit of edge to it, and the ref wants to put a bit of a clamp down.
Exactly.
It's not a bad bet, that. You know, it doesn't happen that often, if I'm being honest, but in these kind of games, you often see an early card for whatever reason, even if it's not overly warranted. It just calms everyone down a bit. So 21-10 for the first card.
That's a decent bet, because some of the players, you know, they wouldn't have tasted this atmosphere, and, you know, it's a long time since they played each other, and it's the first first meeting in the Premier League. That stinks of a good bet, that one.
Yeah, and right at the bottom of the card betting, you can bet on which team will have the most booking points. 13-10 for Cardiff. The draw is 5-1, and Swansea are even money. So that might be worth a little look at the bookings that each team have picked up. And I quite like the draw. 5-1 looks a big price for both teams to have equal numbers of cards. And they can sometimes get levelled out in these kind of games. Just going back to the result, though, you're going Cardiff, Ron?
I'm
going
to go Cardiff,
23-10.
Me too.
Fair enough. Let's have a look at West Ham Aston Villa. 23-20 West Ham, 12-5 the draw. Aston Villa are priced up at 23-10. Villa losing that home game last weekend, as we've already mentioned, against Everton. Before that, they'd lost 2-0 at home to Tottenham. Before that, they'd drawn a blank away at Hull. So finding goals hard to come by all of a sudden. Doesn't help when Benteke misses a penalty, of course. West Ham overcame the top of the table team in the Championship in the League Cup in midweek, beating Burnley 2-0 thanks to goals from Taylor and Collison from the spot. West Ham at home. Derek, 23-20, not the best price in the world, especially when Aston Villa tend to do better away from home.
Exactly. I mean, you know, Sam Allardyce has stumbled upon a new formation, hasn't he? Two banks of five. I mean, it's just, who would be a West Ham fan with that clown in charge? I'm sorry, he's just Mr. Anti-Football, and I could never back them. I'm just going to, here and now, I'm going to oppose them every time. I look at their team and I just don't see anything. I don't see any... they're awful to watch, and must be awful to play in as well, to be honest. Villa away from home, you know, what I've said down this bulletin many, many times, Lee, they're a team that's set up to counter-attack, and they'll win this one.
But as I said, Ron, Benteke missed that penalty. If he doesn't score in this game, it's the longest run he's ever had in the Premier League without a goal. 6-5 to score in this one, worth a go?
I think, well, it's always worth a go if Villa are going to get anything out of a game, apart from a no-score draw. I actually think it will be a draw, and I think that'll suit Villa more than West Ham. If they draw one each, that's under what, 2.5 goals, Derek?
So, yeah. 6-1 for 1-1, under 2.5 goals is 10
to
11.
I could see that being a 1-1 or a no-score. 1-1.
Derek?
Yeah, Villa for me, but you know, I'd be on the unders late, definitely.
Yeah.
When West Ham are playing, you always go on the unders.
Yeah, especially after conceding 3 goals in successive home games. They want to keep it tight. Hull Sunderland next, 21-20 Hull, 12-5 the price for the draw. And Sunderland are priced up at 13-5. Kind of did Hull a bit of a disservice. So I suggested that they couldn't back up the manner they played against Tottenham in the Premier League. Well, they did. They went and did it again. And were very unlucky. Obviously went out in a penalty shootout, and it went deep into the penalty shootout as well. This is the first home game since playing Aston Villa at home on the 5th of October. So nearly a full calendar month since the last home game. They'll be glad to be back there. But you wonder how much it's taken out of them, Derek, don't you?
Yeah.
The 3 away games and the 2 trips to London in quick succession. I know they fly down there, etc. But still, quite a lot of the penalty shootout and quite a lot of emotion involved in that cup tie, I guess.
Exactly, and probably meeting Sunderland at the wrong time as well, and Sunderland flying after beating after winning against Newcastle. In fact, that's the reason. You know, we were wondering why the game, the midweek game against Southampton, in the League Cup, it was delayed. Well, it was to give. The Sunderland fans more time to laugh at the Geordies. I mean, you know, Sunderland, until that game, until that result against Newcastle, I thought Sunderland were absolutely appalling, but they showed something in that game. Don't quite know what it was, but, you know, it was a good result for them. And Hull's problem, as we know, they just don't score enough goals. You know, they're a better side than people give them credit for, Hull. But a bit short, really. 21-20. Very short there, isn't it? I'm almost tempted to go for Sunderland, but I'm not going to go for them on the back of one good result. I'd like to see a bit more from them. I'd go for the draw here, and I'd definitely go on the unders. There's not going to be many goals in this game.
Yeah, if you're wondering why under 2.5 is 6-10, it's because each of the last seven home Premier League games for Hull have been under 2.5 goals. So that's why.
But I keep saying, Leon, so you'd avoid the 6-10 because it's too short. But the under 1.5, it never seems to shorten, does it? You know, it's always around a 2-1, 9-4 mark.
That's right. Ron, I'm not sure why this is, Ron, but there have been four red cards in the last three league meetings between these two sides. It's funny how some fixtures just have a bit of spice to them, isn't it? I mean, I suppose it's not a local derby by any stretch of the imagination, but they're fairly close.
Yeah.
It's about as close as Hull get to a local derby.
Yeah. I don't know why there should be any red cards. No. I mean, you haven't even got the Steve.
Josie Altidore actually was sent off for Hull when they played Sunderland in 2010.
Yeah. I'm fancying Sunderland to win it, you know. I do. They've got a few injury problems, Hull, haven't they? They had a few in midweek. I know they changed the team, but I think a lot of it was to do with one or two of their players being injured. I've got a feeling that Sunderland, for the new manager to get his teeth into him on the back of, you know, a great result for them last weekend. For me, yeah, I got a feeling Sunderland, I don't know if it would be that much of a surprise, but what price are they to win?
Sunderland are priced up at 13-5, so...
Just changed, mate, 23-10.
Oh, is it?
And I'll just tell you what else has changed. You know, we were going on about the Arsenal-Liverpool draw, 5-2. Look, we mentioned it. It's 2-1 now.
Yeah.
That is a massive change, isn't it?
Someone must be listening.
You're not sitting there listening.
It'd be the American Secret Service.
Yeah, they got one of them things, haven't they?
They're tapping your phone, Ron. That's what it is.
That's what it is. For all that, I fancy Sunderland to win.
Yeah, you're right about the injuries, Ron. Doubts over Brady, Bruce, Fay and McLean already got already seven out as well for Hull City, including Aluko, and Danny Graham can't play because it's his parent side, of course, his parent club, yeah. Sunderland. So, yeah, they are looking a little bit light. Robert Corran is fit again, so he could make a comeback. But it looks a bit... the midfield looks all right, with Huddleston and Livermore both playing pretty good at the minute, but other than that, it looks a little bit light, that Hull side.
For 6-5 is too short for them, isn't it? Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, the Tottenham, I said 9-5 to win at Everton, they've just been pushed out to 2-1, which is only a little marginal difference, but it seems a lot. Subconsciously, it seems a big difference.
It does, yeah. Fulham Man United next, 11-2 Fulham at home, 12-5 the price for the draw. Manchester United are priced up at 8-13 to win at Craven Cottage. In terms of form and league positioning, well, Fulham, as predicted, came unstuck at Leicester, 4-3 in the end. Left it late to get the winner, Leicester, in the 88th minute. And that followed a 2-0 defeat at Southampton, again, as predicted. So Ron and Derek on the right side of the Fulham bets at the minute, calling them right every week, pretty much. United, everyone questioning them. Suddenly you look at the form and you think... Yeah, they haven't lost since that West Brom game. You know, all the players are coming out saying, we need to pull our socks up here. We need to start getting on a run. And they look like they are on, don't they? The 4-0 against Norwich in a week, fair enough. 3-2 against Stoke, wasn't convincing, but they won. Beat Real Sociedad, wasn't convincing, but won. Didn't get beaten by Southampton when they could have done. Beat Sunderland. This is typical Man U, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're fixtures that...
Should win.
Sort of winnable fixtures. Yeah. I know they've dropped... Like we'd have been saying, Southampton and West Brom, you'd have expected, well, particularly against West Brom, you'd have expected maximum points.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're in a bout of fixtures. All of a sudden, Man United, I don't think they'll win the league this year, but it don't make them relegation fodder. Yeah, does it? You know, everybody's looking at them as if, oh, Man United, as if the whole world's just dropped out of them. No, they're all right. And I think... I think I certainly fancy them to win this one, and if I was Martin Yol, I'd be very worried.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think it's almost time to go.
It's November.
Yeah, that's a bad month for managers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, unless you're growing a moustache. Yeah. That's pretty good. He's 13-8 to go, by the way.
No. Well, fair to be fair to go, you mean?
Yeah, third, yeah.
Well, understandably, because... And you know what? The signings he made, all, it's very un-Martin Jol-like, isn't it? You know, the team he sends out nowadays. You know, all the luxury players. I can't understand. I can't think of another Premier League manager who would do that, because it's obvious even to a clown like me that that's a team that's ready to be murdered by anybody on any given day. And I think United will murder them. You know, I'm United's biggest critic, but this is a gimme fixture for them. Mm. I know they've had trouble at Fulham in the past. A lot of big teams have. But this is not the Fulham of old. I think the manager's lost it. I really do.
What do you think would happen there, Derek? Do you think, I'm just talking about the Man United scenario, they've had Hernandez in for two matches, comes on and gets the winner last week. He's got two in midweek. They've got Sociedad coming up in midweek, which isn't that big a game. But do you think they might just leave Van Persie and give him a further rest?
No, I don't think so.
What do you
Ron?
Think they'll save play Van Persie and save Hernandez for?
Well, yeah, I mean the European group. I mean, it's a gimme for them. I mean, they're
well,
already qualified
they're,
now.
They're going to have to do something radical not to qualify.
Yeah, yeah. They rested him for that home game against Sociedad, didn't they?
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. This is a bigger game for them, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, Man United the only team to score 13-8.
Yeah.
You know, like the Chelsea one early on against Newcastle, I think that's given money away. I really do.
Although they have been conceding, they've conceded 12 goals in the Premier League, which is exactly the same
as
Fulham.
Yeah, but that's against teams who run.
Yeah.
You know, against a team of loafers.
By the way, on that silly one though, would you bet against Berbatov scoring?
Yes, always.
I wouldn't. I always think if it don't matter so much at Fulham if he don't run about as when he's in the bigger clubs.
Well, you know what, Ron? You know, I see all. You know, I heard the same accusation was levelled at the Letitiers and the Hoddles.
Yeah.
You know, wonderful skill, but he don't do enough weight right. But I don't see Hoddle and Letitier. They produce.
Well, that's the key note. You can afford not to be tearing all over the pitch. But when you've got to hurt him when you've got the ball,
and he doesn't. And I've never known a player so overrated in my life. Beckham apart.
I've never been his biggest fan. I said I keep going back to. I only remember seeing him play for Leverkusen, and my description then was milky.
Yeah.
But he has got a goal in him if he gets a situation. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I fancy United anyway.
Mm.
You know, you're going on about the anytime goal scorers. If Van Persie does play, he's even to score. Yeah. If he was at Old Trafford, he'd be something like, 4-11 to score.
The only thing that Fulham might be able to match, it'd be interesting to see what they play. Because Fulham have got Parker and Sidwell in midfield, haven't they now? Who, whatever else, will get themselves about the midfield in an area where, am I new that good in that area?
No, they're not. No. But I think Parker's long gone. I really do think he's gone out of the game. There's no better. You know, I used to say when Modric and Pihavi were playing in the centre midfield for Tottenham, no better player than Modric for servicing his attackers. No better player than Parker for servicing his own defenders. That's all he ever does. Pass it back.
He did have that little thing. I used to say, why didn't somebody attempt to play on the half turn a bit more?
Mm-hmm.
Just going back to that Van Persie point you made, Derek, even money to score a goal. 16 goals in 22 away appearances for Man United in the top flight.
Now, late, and they're playing Fulham.
Even money looks great.
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, though, Rooney, it's for the first time, I think, he's rated more likely to score than Van Persie. 10 to 11. I don't think that's happened this season. It's always Van Persie being the favourite.
11 in his last 15 Premier League away games for Rooney as well.
Where would United be without those two?
Oh.
Relegated.
Top.
Hernandez and Welbeck.
Because they're both Suarez and Bale.
Another quick interesting bet on the cards. Man United lead the fair play table. Sorry, they're at the bottom of the fair play table. 21 yellow cards they've picked up this season, which incidentally is, as well as being the most in the Premier League at the moment, that's only 8 yellow cards short of the total they recorded in 1993-94, which I know is going back a bit, but I think Opta just wanted to prove the point. But my point is that Fulham have got 14 this season, Man United 21, yet Man United are 17-10 to have the most booking points this weekend. So, just on stats, that shouldn't be the way it is. I wouldn't have thought.
Right.
Fulham don't strike you as being the kind of team who really put the foot in either, do they? Let's move on. West Brom versus Crystal Palace. 6-10 in the bag is 13-5 the draw. Crystal Palace are priced up at 5-1. Well, Crystal Palace didn't really get much of a fillip, did they, from losing the manager and having someone else in charge. They were beaten 2-0 by Arsenal. They huffed and they puffed, but still, it's another defeat. And they've lost every game since beating Sunderland. West Brom got an absolute tonking run, didn't they, from Liverpool. Suarez was phenomenal. And Sturridge wasn't bad either.
So, no, but it was Suarez had done it all. Yeah, wasn't it? I mean, it was a very good performance.
Yeah.
That's one. If you're Steve Clarke, you put that to one side and go, all right, that's our one for the season. Get that out of the way. And let's focus on what we can do.
Yeah.
There's only one little thing that concerns me. This should be a West Bromwich win all day long, shouldn't it?
Yes, it should be.
There's only one little thing. Now they must have lost. Now Crystal Palace, what? 600 pounds? 700 pounds?
Yeah.
They must have lost something like that. Does any Premiership team in history lose like 900 pounds? Do they? Is there not a draw in there somewhere along the way?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you're saying, Ron. Yeah, they're not that bad to lose like 9 or 10 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that and go, you can't make a case for them, except do Premiership teams lose that many on the bounce? Mm.
They lost 8 in 1998. So they still haven't broken their own record yet.
Yeah. 3 of the last 4 league meetings between these two sides have ended in 1-1 draws, by the way.
Mm. Yeah.
15-2.
Can 1-1. They keep it that tight?
Yeah.
I might just be tempted on this, and it's a deaf one, it's more hunch than logic, to go for a draw.
Mm.
You know, for argument, say Crystal Palace had won a couple and they'd lost a couple, and I'd be going, yeah, West Brom will win this. This is the sort of fixture they'll target. But it's got a feeling that Premiership clubs, no matter how bad they are, somewhere along the way they have a stop-off result.
Yeah.
And I just wonder whether they can get a draw. I'd be tempted to just go for a draw on this one.
Derek, what are you going for?
Well, if this wasn't... before last week, I'd have said, yeah, you know, West Brom look good things here. The other players they've got, the Anelkas and so on, and Palace just look short of quality, full stop. But I was more impressed than Ron with Palace against Arsenal last week. More impressed than you, sorry, Lee, because you mentioned that they huffed and puffed. I thought there was a bit more about them than that. And, you know, we remain to be seeing how West Brom bounce back from that shellacking at Liverpool. That was a bad result for them, that. I thought they might get something from Anfield. 6-4 you can get for the double result, Palace and the draw. I like the look of that. I think West Brom are being a little bit underpriced here.
Yeah.
Palace in the draw, 6-4.
You just worry about teams like that, don't you, when they play nicely and they keep getting beaten by a couple of goals, which they did against... they looked all right against Chelsea, didn't they?
Yeah,
but then, you know, the scoreline says 3-1.
Well, I remember reading some of this. They're relying on Chamakh up front, and he's had 2 shots on target all season.
Not
played
enough,
in all the games.
Not good enough.
He was there, actually,
He's proved to us before that he's not good enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd be more fancying Gale to score than... I think a 1-1 might be a standout result for me on that.
What about Nelka, by the way? I mean, he's only had 2 shots on target in 7 Premier League games.
Yeah, he's picking up his wages.
Wow,
isn't he?
I mean, it looks that way, doesn't it? Doesn't even look bothered, really, does he?
Yeah.
That might be harsh on him, to be fair. But Stoke Southampton 21-10 Stoke, 21-10 the draw. Southampton are priced up at 7-5. Southampton in the Premier League, away from home, don't score many goals. 1 at Man United, 1 at Liverpool. Good enough to win that, by the way. Nothing at Norwich, 1 at West Brom. Stoke at home in the Premier League, drew a blank against West Brom, a blank against Norwich, a blank against City. Did score 2 against Crystal Palace, mind you. You can see where I'm going with this, Derek, obviously, can't you?
Yeah, you can. But, you know, as a marker for you, Stoke not to score against Southampton. Mm. Not many teams score against Southampton. We know about Stoke's weaknesses up front. Am I ignoring those 2 goals against Man United last week? I can't explain that. Stoke not to score, 13-8.
Mm.
It's just, where are they getting that from? There's some ridiculous prices on the
coupon. 5 clean sheets in 6 for Southampton, isn't it?
Yeah, against better teams than Stoke.
Yeah.
You know, they went to Anfield, they didn't concede. What about that is? What a bet. That's the only thing. I mean, it's a fixture I won't be watching. I think. I mean, your odd compilers have been spot on about Southampton. All credit to them. You know, they've called them right all the time, and they'll call them right there again. They'll win this one, I think. Southampton.
What's the draw price?
The draw is 21-10. I was just about to read the both teams to score. Draw price out 21-10. Just over 2-1 run.
I'd be looking at a 1-1 draw. I'm going to throw a little one in here. Derek's just mentioned about goal scorers.
Uh-huh.
Crouch has scored in his last two games.
He has, yeah.
Against one of, and he's playing against one of his old teams.
Of course he is, yeah.
Mind you, he does that most weeks now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, Derek, I was at the game, the 4-4 game in midweek at Birmingham. He would have got the goal of the season. You know, he hit an overhead kick. Now, I know what you say about the one of Rooney. You've always maintained it was a niche in toe, wasn't it? But he thudded it, a right overhead kick. He hit the underside of the bar. And I tell you, the bar's still shaking.
Is honestly. It really, yeah?
And then, yeah. And he scored last week at Old Trafford, scored in midweek. I'm looking for him to continue that run and get a goal in a 1-1 draw.
Must have been some trick if Crouch can get it over his head.
Oh, I tell you, hey, by the way, it was hell of a shot.
Yeah,
getting his leg over, but it's just hoping his misses isn't.
Well, exactly. He does something like that. He ran the goal of the season, he goes home to Abbey.
How about this then, Ron? Peter Crouch to score first in a 1-1 draw, 55-1. Peter Crouch to score last in a 1-1 draw, 55-1.
Is it?
Yeah, so you can have a quid on both.
Hey, that's my bet of the week now. I had no intention of getting involved with that. But I've got to be honest now. You've hooked me in.
You know what'll happen, don't you? You'll pick the first and you'll score last.
Second, yeah.
But Derek and Robbie will probably give you that out of kindness.
Yeah, right.
So you're going. What are you going for, Derek?
I'm going to go for Southampton to keep a clean sheet, 13-8.
And Ron, you're going for that one, 55-1.
I'm going to have a
fair enough.
Grudge.
Yeah, it's good fun, that, isn't it? Good fun to make what looks on the face of it maybe a drab game, very interesting. Man City Norwich is our final game that we'll look at. 2-9 City, 9-2 the draw. Norwich are 14-1. Most of the betting surrounding this game this week has been on whether Joe Hart will start or not. I think Hills were offering 6-4 that he doesn't start against Norwich after his recent run of poor form. As for the game itself, well, Manchester City are 7th with 16 points from their 9 games, and their opponents Norwich are in the bottom 3 with 8 points from their 9 games, same points total as Stoke at the minute. This should be an open and shut case home win, Ron, shouldn't it?
Oh yeah, just remind me about last week.
I wasn't going to bother, but this is the game, of course, that chinned Ron for winning the bet of the week title when Norwich beat them 3-2, unbelievably.
You have to. Hey, you've got to go City. Whatever. You can't look any other way. The City, can you, on this one?
You'd have to look at Aguero as well in some way.
They've got that match coming up in midweek, haven't they?
True.
Which is massive for them, really.
Yeah.
Or is it as big now?
Yeah, they still need to. To do well in it, don't they?
Yeah, but they've got fullback in that, haven't they? Now, haven't they got some fullback in that league?
They're going to finish second in that one, aren't they?
Yeah. So.
But still, the way they are in the Champions League, you'd imagine you'd want to beat CSKA Moscow. Pretty, do it right, wouldn't you? A lot of goals in this fixture normally. I mean, we just looked at that. You know, we mentioned that game from last year when it was 3-2 to Norwich. Just looking at the head-to-heads between these two clubs, it was 4-3 to Man City in December 2012, 6-1 in April 2012, 5-1 to City in December 2011. So they're the four games they've played. That's an awful lot of goals, isn't it?
Yeah.
In four matches.
I mean, I'll be quite honest. I was looking at a City 3-0.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Ron, if you were manager, would you play Hart?
I tell you what, I know it's not a cop-out, this. You'd have to watch him in training a bit to see how he is. Sometimes you can get a picture, particularly with your keeper. You know, no, I don't think I would. I mean, I know you're running the risk of losing him for a while, but I think that the kids, he's kept a clean sheet in midweek. Yeah. You're playing against a team who you think you'll beat anyway. I'd play the kid. I'd play the other lad, Romanian.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, any player performing like Hart does anywhere else on the field, you know, he'd be dropped, wouldn't he?
So he would, but sometimes you look at it and say, is he my best goalkeeper? If he is, I'll stick with him a little bit longer.
It's a good game to let rest him as well, isn't it?
The central defenders, I don't think it's a question of resting.
Oh, drop him, sorry.
Yeah. I think he will be dropped. Mm. If he's not in, he's dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the central defenders. And it's ironic, they get a clean sheet with Lescott back in the team.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the best centre-half in the world, but at least his game is heading and kicking.
Yeah, but Ronnie, you say he's not the best centre-back in the world. Why is he still there if he's not? I mean, what's wrong with him?
Hey, I'll tell you a story about it. Because the lads I play golf with, they're all in that little clique, the footballer-type clique. His contract's up at the end of the season, isn't it? And he's more or less been told, and I do not understand this logic, they're not going to play him at all, hardly. Because his contract's up. Well, whether they're frightened of him playing that well that he'll get another contract or what, I don't know. But I would have thought if you're a manager of a football team and you've got a decent player there, you forget his contract situation. You stick him in and let that look after itself when it comes to that time.
But I don't understand, though. What does that matter? Why does that matter? His contract's up.
Derek, I've no idea on this one, but I'm telling you that they're not going to give him a new contract at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And you look at it and think, well, why pay him? They're paying him 90 grand a week, which I had for the Abu Dhabi men is neither here nor there. But why not use him until he's no further use?
Yeah, seems strange, doesn't it?
I mean, I look at, I can't have that Garcia and the other fella at any price.
It's funny how managers, what managers see, isn't it?
Well, I don't even know whether that's a managerial thing it's like a policy thing.
Yeah. Demichelis and Nastasic will be the centre-back partnership this weekend.
How would you play him? He's been out all season. He's no experience of the English division.
No.
You know, I know, right? He did all right at Malaga and all that, but he ain't a world-renowned centre-half, is he?
No. I suppose that, you know, without being mean to, you know, rude to Norwich, the way they've been, you know, they haven't been scoring enough goals, so you could probably play who you wanted in this game, I guess, couldn't you?
Anyway, to get back to
to Norwich.
You'd fully expect City to win, and it's either for me to toss up whether you go 2-0 or 3-0. And I just got a feeling on this one it might be 3-0.
Aguero to score 2 or more, 9-4. I know it's not the best price in the world, but it probably will happen, Derek, if he plays.
Yeah, in the first 10 minutes.
What would 3-0 be?
Oh, sorry, 3-0 is 6-1.
See, that's a poor price, I think, for a 3-0.
Yeah, it's a tough one to get 3-0. Hart, did you say, I think he's evens now, Lee.
It was 6-4 early in the week.
Yeah, I think he's evens to be dropped. I think that's a great bet. I just can't believe Pellegrini refused to back him this week. He might change his mind when he sees evens. Yeah, his head's gone, his confidence gone, his self-belief has gone. The only thing that hasn't gone is his dandruff. There's no way that he'll play in this game. Absolutely no way. So even for him not to play, I think that's a certainty. As big a certainty as City are, because they've been getting a lot of stick, but, you know, they were a better side than Chelsea last week. It was only that horrendous cock-up that, you know, stopped them getting a draw at their main title rivals, you know, and they hadn't done too much wrong before then. They'll win this in a cakewalk. Snodgrass has been Norwich's star performer. He looks as though he'll be out of this one after that terrible injury last week. So City to win 2-0. I think in fact, they can play rush keeper. Still win.
Yeah, that'll be good. I love a stat, and I mentioned about the goals. 6 or more goals in the match. The last 4 average out at 6.25 is 7-1. So that's a little special bet for you if you think a different manager with City. So you have to bear that in mind, of course. Over 5.5 goals is 13-2. So that just gives you a little idea of how they've just enhanced it a tiny little bit for you. Over 4.5, 3-1. It's quite a big difference for that extra goal or more. Let's get a bet of the week, shall we? Derek, you landed last week.
Yes, landed well, didn't I? 11-4, I think it was. West Ham and the West Ham game, fewer than 1.5 goals, I think it was.
That's right, Ron. You went 2-0 Tottenham. Chinned again, and Robbie went 3-0 Arsenal, and that was only a goal out as well. That'd have been a lovely 8-1, 6-1, 11-4 treble, but for a couple of goals. But that's the punter's lament, isn't it? Where are we going this week then?
I'm going to go for that silly bet. I'm going to try and put you all to bed in one hit.
55-1 for Crouch to score.
Yeah.
Which one, first or last?
I'm going to go last. I think there'll be one down, and I think they'll chase the game and he'll score. Although, no, because I tell you what, he gets taken off, doesn't he? I'll go first.
He's trying to blind us here, Derek, you know.
Yeah. If they were struggling one down, it'd take him off and put...
Do you know what, you've put that up, Ron, and I think you've put the kibosh on Derek's bet of the week, haven't you?
You have.
Oh, double hit.
Yeah, you are. You get Atkinson. I was going to go for Southampton. Southampton for a clean sheet at Stoke, but we can't have that now.
What was the other one you like? Was it the Chelsea?
It was the Chelsea not to concede, wasn't it? Or Chelsea to be the only team to score at 7-4 at Newcastle. I'll go for that.
I saw Robbie yesterday doing his video previews, and he liked Liverpool to win at Arsenal. So I'll stick I'll stick that up for him at 19-10. I haven't asked him, but I'm going to stick that up for him anyway. What price was yours, Derek?
7-4. Chelsea, the only team to score in a Newcastle Chelsea match, 7-4.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you very much, chaps.
Stoked to win, to draw 1-1, haven't I?
Yeah, and Crouch to score first.
Yeah, okay.
And by the way, Robbie's gone for Liverpool. They're now 12-5, Lee.
I've gone 12-5.
Yep.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.